Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who made a choice for you and for me. Love is a choice. Did you hear that's what Jesus said in the gospel reading for tonight? Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will abide." And then he says, the fruit that abides is to love one another. I hope you caught on that we're talking a lot about love tonight. I hope you heard from both the epistle reading and the gospel reading, as well as the songs. Thank you, praise team, for singing those songs about God's love. Well, there's no other songs, are there? Those are the good ones, all right? But all about God's love and the like. But I ask you, what love? What kind of love? If we listen to the Christian, if we listen to the non-Christian songs, if we listen to the songs of this world, the love that's being talked about is a very different kind of love. The songs of this world are feelings that come and go. Feelings that I love you because you make me feel so good. It's conditional kinds of love. I'll love you as long as you fill in the blank, whatever it might be. That's worldly kind of love. And that's certainly not the kind of love that God's Word speaks to us about at all. In fact, it's interesting. We talk about we love our soft drinks and we love our sports team and we love our TV program and we love all this kind of thing. And we even use that word for that. Tonight, God's Word speaks to us about the greatest love. The greatest love is the one where Jesus has given his life for you and for me, for his enemies, for sinners, for those who deserve it the least. Love is a choice. It's a choice that Jesus made for you and for me. And that's the kind of love he fills us with, love that is a choice. True love has to begin, and it has to flow through Jesus. We first have to be filled with Jesus' love before we can truly love others. Because, as we said in our confession, we were born sinful, and we were born not loving at all except for loving ourselves. Tonight in our Bible study, we're studying 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, and we're in 2nd Timothy chapter 3. And how interesting it talks about in 2nd Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, we're living in the last days. Paul writes, in the last days, there will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Boy, do we see this today, don't we? Turn on the news and that's what you hear, lovers of self and abusive and not helping others out and so on, certainly not what God had in mind. Now, I hope you're still shocked by those news. I still hope that that's a shocking thing of those kinds of things, but you know, in a way it really shouldn't be, because since the very, very beginning, there was a bad choice that was made. A bad choice of not loving God and obeying God, but a choice of loving themselves. And when Adam and Eve made that wrong choice of loving themselves and what they thought that they could get, sin infected, affected all and each and every one of us. And it's because of that sin that Jesus made another choice. Because Adam and Eve fell into sin, that wasn't his choice, but his choice was to rescue them, and to send a Savior himself, Jesus Christ. And he gives you and me that rescue in a very personal way. He gives that rescue to you and to me through holy baptism. His great love. He comes to us in baptism. He comes to us and we die to that old sinful nature and are raised with him. It's a choice that God made to give to us that great blessing. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing of God's great love for you and for me. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now, we have died with him and been raised with him. A number of years ago, there was a man who came into his pastor's office. And the man said to his pastor, "Pastor, I want to divorce my wife." The pastor thought for just a moment, and the wise pastor said, "Good." It kind of caught the member a little bit off, because the member knew that divorce isn't something that we ought to be talking about as far as doing and so on. But the wise pastor continued on and said, "You know, if you feel that way, if you don't love your wife anymore and you don't feel love for her anymore, how do you think your wife feels?" He thought for a moment. He said, "You know, Pastor, I never thought about that. You know, I didn't even think about how my wife would feel about that." And so the pastor said very wisely to him, "Why don't you get a divorce? Why don't you get a divorce not from each other, but from the kind of marriage that you had before, and for the living only for your feelings? What if you would start a new relationship? What if you would start a new relationship with your wife and have the true love that's much more than feelings? What if you would choose to make a good relationship with your wife?" That's the kind of love that God is speaking about in our scripture readings for today. That's the kind of love that God would have for his world. That's the kind of love that God initially created the world to be. He created Adam and Eve in his image, in the image of God, in love and in perfect relationship with each other. God had that creation for all of us, and that was his will. That was his choice. But again, because of the very sinful choice, God made another choice for you and for me, and that was to promise the Savior, to promise Jesus, who would come and who would take the punishment for our sins, so that in his great love for the world, that God the Father would give his Son Jesus for that. Bad choices, lots of bad choices that we continue in our lives today. Bad choices that we make, but Jesus, in his great love, continues to come and say, "When you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and forgives us our sins and gives to us his righteousness." Jesus' choice, Jesus' plan, was to take our sin upon himself and to give to us his righteousness. Wasn't our choice, it was his choice. And it was his choice in order to rescue us. And it's the only answer. It's the only answer for sin, for you and for me. God showed his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, he died for us. What great love that there is. It's interesting, in that epistle reading in 1 John, it talks about the fact that Jesus came by water and blood. And then, because it's so important, he repeated it once again, and he said, "He did not come by water only, but he came by water and blood." The good Lutheran question is, what does this mean? Did you catch that? Did you kind of wonder about that? Jesus came by water and by blood. Jesus came by water of his baptism, and Jesus came by the blood of his cross. What John is helping them to understand is that all of Jesus' ministry, he began his public ministry at his baptism, and his death and resurrection was the ending of his public ministry. Jesus came for you and for me through his baptism, where he took upon himself the sins of the world. Remember when Jesus came? Remember what John the Baptizer said? "Whoa," he says, "I should be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you?" Remember what Jesus says? "Do it to fulfill all righteousness. Do it because it's the only way that the world can be saved. Do it because I will take upon myself the sins of the whole world. And in this baptism, show that I am being baptized for you." And now in our baptism, we die with Christ and are raised with Christ. And all of Jesus' teachings then, he would tell them about the fact that he loved them and that he wanted them to be a part of his family and that he would suffer and die for them. Remember, at least three times it's told his disciples very clearly, and they never got it. But by water and then by blood, Jesus certainly called us and chose us and was a part of us through his baptism, and then very much so by his blood. But there's a lot of people that maybe don't want to talk about Jesus' blood. It's kind of gory and it's kind of gross. But without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Scripture very clearly says that. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a payment for sins. And it was the payment of Jesus and his blood. It's by Jesus' blood that we're forgiven. And he chose to do that. He could have come off the cross anytime. He could have ended it at any time. He could have stopped it. But he very willingly made the choice. Love is a choice. And the choice that Jesus made first for you and for me. And Jesus reminds us of that. As tonight, again, he invites us to come and to receive his true body and his true blood for the forgiveness of sins. He says, I choose to give you my body and blood for your forgiveness, for your strengthening of faith, for your joy, for your life. What a Savior we have. A Savior who comes to us, yes, in water and in blood. That's the highest importance, that he chooses us. And he chose us first so that we might be his sons and daughters. And he chooses us so that we might live and live for him. It was a young couple that got married fairly early. She was 18, he was 19. After 6 years and three children, the wife just up and decided one day, that's it, and she left. She left and she called once in a while just to check on the children, and each time that she called, her husband would say, please come home, I love you. Please come home, I love you. But she wouldn't. Finally, the husband hired a detective to find out where it was that she was calling from, and he found out that it was this second-rate motel in Des Moines, Iowa. So he had the kids taken care of by a very trusting neighbor, and he went driving to that hotel. As he stood and he knocked at that door, he wasn't sure what it was that he would find when that door would be open. And as the door came open, his wife stood there, had a surprised look on her face, and then fell into his arms. He writes that later on, as he brought her back home again and they had the children tucked safely into bed, then he finally asked her the question that had been bothering him for a long, long time. He said, why is it that each time I called you, I asked you to come home and I told you that I love you, why is it that you didn't come home? And she said, I did it this time because you came. Before it was only words. Now it was actions. Now it was a choice that you made. I came home because you came. Jesus came for you and for me. He came for you and for me even before we were born, even before our parents even thought about us. Jesus came for you and for me, and he chose to suffer and die for you and for me. Jesus comes again today through his word, through his sacrament, through the music, through all the different ways that he comes to us today, and he's coming again. And he'd love to have more people in his family, and so he commands us to love as I have loved you, to love others, to choose to love others, not out of selfish reasons or any other reasons, to love them when it's the hardest to love them, and to share Jesus' love with them. This is my command, that you love one another. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He comes, fills us with his love, so that we might live that love, that choice of love. What a blessing it is that Jesus gives to us a circle of love, a circle of people who can love us and love one another so that we too might love those not yet in his family, in the precious name of Jesus and because of his love. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding fill our hearts and our lives with his love as we share that love and live that love unto life everlasting. Amen.